everybody, and welcome back to your favorite jingle jangle episode here of No Gina. What is that sound?
What is happening?
Now it's
what is going on over there?
Hang on.
I thought I could incorporate it into the intro, but it was too distracting. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about, geez, what is happening? Davey and Goliath, their Thanksgiving episode, hand-picked, hand-selected by TV's Gina Ippolito. We just did a watch party with some of our patrons on Patreon, and we had a blast doing it, I will say right now. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stecanus.
I'm Robert Clark Chan. I'm Gina Ippolito.
And we are, do you got it under control over there, Gina? Do we?
You know, I don't know. There's the cats run the house. I've also started to sort of like pack up for a move. And I think that they are aware of this and are especially punchy. But, you know, who knows?
And so they just got sleigh bells and are ringing them in your microphone. Yeah. What is happening here?
Look, Doc's playing with toys. Merlin wants to be fed. I feel like it's pretty normal cat behavior.
My cats never do either of those things.
That's because your cats hate you.
I don't buy loud toys for my cats because I already have a child.
Yeah, well, that's your decision.
Well, I think you just explained it. Yeah.
Also, shout out to Channing Sherman, who wasn't sure if he was going to show up to the Patreon exclusive because he's got work in the morning and he's on some not Los Angeles time, but he powered through what proved to be a terrible Thanksgiving holiday special episode of a special cartoon.
Shout out to everybody. Channing Sherman showed up. Brian Rapp was there. We had Guama. We had Jerry. And we had Psycho Andy was there. Yeah. Absolutely. And I believe, was there one more person? I think there was one more person. Maybe not. I don't know. It's late. My point is, we're talking about Davey and Goliath. Now, Davey and Goliath, for all you youngsters out there, you might not even conceive that a show like Davey and Goliath was ever on TV or was popular. And I don't know if it was ever really popular, but it definitely like wormed its way into the public subconscious back in the 1960s, early 60s, when things were quite different in this country. We were perhaps a little less secular and a little bit more religious in there.
Imagine Wallace and Gromit if Aardman hated you. If you lived in hell... And Aardman was doing the weekly movie, and it's something like that.
Yeah,
I will admit that I only became aware of it when they started doing the Mad TV parodies of it, which I assume everyone remembers. But it was basically like sort of, you know, the son of Sam allegedly heard a dog talk to him. So I think theirs was like Davy and the son of Goliath, and it was just like Davy, you know, little kid, little claymation kid Davy, and his dog, and the dog was just like, well, why don't you just kill everyone, Davy? And that was when I first became aware that there was a show in the 60s that they were now like dubbing over with these things, I guess.
See, as I just learned, Davy and Goliath made by the Lutheran Church. So that's literally whose name is on the production. It was made by the Lutheran Church. And this stuff aired on, you know, like the religious channel, you know, like the one that would play opposite the Saturday morning cartoons, but also would put like televangelists and stuff on there. And intermixed with all that, you'd get Davy and Goliath cartoons when I was a kid growing up. So I've seen them. I wouldn't say I was actively seeking them out, but highly aware of them. And the one show that I think about that kind of like, It's stop motion animation, kind of like those Rankin Bass specials, except those had a lot more production value behind them. These are made very, very cheaply, as we'll get into.
They're made on church donations, man.
Yeah, so they should have a lot of money, as far as I was concerned.
That's true.
The one show that actually came out fairly-ish recently was on Adult Swim called Moral Oral.
Yes,
if you've ever seen Moral Oral, they know exactly what they're doing there. It is a crazy, psychotic, very, very effed up version of Davy and Goliath. They're doing Davy and Goliath, but they're doing it evil. That's their whole deal. And it keeps as they kept inexplicably getting season after season, they just started getting so bizarre. They started making episodes they couldn't even air because they were so effed up. Like that's where we were at.
To be honest, I did a quick Google search, and it's and Davy and Goliath has been parodied on Mad TV, on The Simpsons, on Robot Chicken. So I guess a lot of people were aware of it. I just was not until I started to see the parodies popping up, I guess.
Yeah, if you're a Gen Xer, as I am, and you grew up probably in the Midwest, I'm guessing, this was absolutely in your sphere. This just was.
Yeah, I'm not sure too many Italians in on the East Coast have a need for Lutheran church propaganda.
Because they're godly heathens. Yes, we understand that.
Well, enjoy hell, Gina. My point is...
I will.
So Davy and Goliath, this is it. It's about a at its core, I suppose, it's about Davy and Goliath, two characters, Davy being a young churchy boy and Goliath being his dog. But it's also about the family, about church lessons being taught through, in this case, a big flashback to the pilgrims to, you know, it's a whole deal. It's very preachy. And I will say, even more problematic than I was expecting it to be.
Really?
Church propaganda from the 1960s.
Oh, to me, this was way less problematic than I
really?
Expected.
You felt that the depiction of Native Americans was acceptable.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chang.
No, yeah. I mean, I feel like we all, like, in the 80s, that would, like, in the 80s, the depiction of Native Americans around Thanksgiving was always that they were eager to help.
Yes.
And so I expected this to be more racist than the cartoons in the 80s.
Interesting.
And it wasn't. It to me was exactly what I remember of like what we were taught of it being like, yeah, the white man set foot on this land. And then the Indians were like, yay, we're going to help you grow corn. Like, that's what I remember cartoons being in the 80s whenever there was talk of Thanksgiving.
Fair.
So I thought that this was going to be like even worse. I thought they were going to just be like getting slaughtered and like the white man was going to be like,
whoa. Wait a minute. You thought that Davy and Goliath were going to go back and murder Native Americans?
Yeah.
No. Here's the thing. They are not as malicious as you were expecting because they're much stupider.
These characters
are much dumber than the version you would find in an 80s cartoon.
That's true, but did you find it more problematic, less problematic, or about what you expected, Jan?
I found it problematic in a different way.
Okay.
Well, I can't wait to hear all about that. As this episode of Davy and Goliath opens, as we learn it's made by the Lutheran, big placards is made by the Lutheran Church or something like that.
Although apparently they're heavy into rockets, so like, you know, they're religious folks who are into science.
Yeah, they really wanted to step on the moon to see if Jesus was there. I assume that's a different episode of Davy and Goliath that we just haven't seen yet. We open with people playing horns and a pilgrim boy. And we get a big argument between Davy and his sister Sally, where it's like, no, I don't want to do that, she says. And he says, oh, come on. And I'm like, where are we going here? Because this is already a raising an eyebrow. It turns out they're having a big old disagreement about what gift to get for mom. Now, as Psycho Andy during the watch pointed out, you can get mom more than one gift. As Psycho Andy pointed out on the watch party, you can buy mom more than one gift. So I don't even understand where this argument is even coming from, because he wants to get mom something practical and she wants to get her a doll because a doll is fun. But then it turns out she just wants to give her own doll. And I think, come on, Sally, you just got to know you're in the wrong on this one. You just have to know that what you're saying is bullshit. You just have to know that.
No, she was thinking she loves her doll. So she wants to give her mom something that she herself loves, because that's the ultimate sacrifice.
Absolutely not. She was thinking, I know, I could make her a gift and show her that I love her.
Thank you.
I could spend my money to get her a thing that she would like, or I could just give her some old shit that I don't care about. She's guaranteed not going to give her one of her nice dolls. She's going to be like, hey, here's one of the crappy dolls, which I loved when I was two.
But this also kind of pointed out to me, because like, why are we talking about gift giving? This is a Thanksgiving Day special. I got very confused, but it turns out that their mom's birthday is coming up, also adjunct to Thanksgiving, which I guess in this world, some people have a birthday on or around Thanksgiving. I guess
they just pissed off an entire slew of people born that last week in November.
Yeah, I think, if I wrote a character and then I wrote in there like they were born on Thanksgiving, every audience member would be like, bullshit. Like, I'm just saying that nobody would be buying it.
I want a wiki for Davy and Goliath that just has all of the dates, that goes through and like checks every reference that they make to make sure that it all lines up.
Thank you.
Canon.
When I'm watching the Goliath verse, I want to make sure that this shit is tight.
Yep.
That's all I want.
The DGEU. Everybody knows. Thank you. Loved it.
Thank you. So Davey wants to get mom a sweater, which, let's face it, not a great gift, but better than your sister's doll.
He says something about, like, she's frequently cold. Does he say that or something? He says something she needs.
Everybody in every church goer in the 1960s in the suburbs was cold. That is a known fact about the 1960s, is how frigid the winters were.
So I like the fact that he's a little bit more practical. Like,
thank you.
He's doing an A to B. Like, mom says she's cold, so like, and a sweater will make her slightly less cold. Let's get her something she needs. She needs a sweater. I appreciate that.
Yeah, at least it makes sense. You know, I think she deserves a PlayStation 5, but I mean, this is just me. I don't know. Mom finally comes home, and nobody helps her. This was pointed out immediately as we all stand there watching agape as mom comes in the door, says, hello, giant bags full of groceries. And they just sit back. Dad's just sitting up, puts his feet up, reading a book. The kids are just like, hey, mom. And the mom's just like, I guess I'm going to unpack all this shit.
Yeah, I got to say, like, clearly they're trying to save money on movement of this. Of these claymation characters, but like the fact that the dad is just sitting there and the only thing that moves is like his foot moves every once in a while and his eyebrows, which every character in this show has terrifying eyebrows that just every time they move slightly, it makes them look like they're fucking serial killers.
Yeah.
But the dad just sitting in a chair reading a book until his wife is like 98% done unloading the groceries. And
true.
Then he just says, do you need any help? And she goes, no.
Now, look, as what somebody who's pulled here, that move,
yeah,
I've pulled that
yeah,
move.
Yeah, I know. You are this asshole dad.
Look, I maybe saw a little of myself in this guy. Not for the best. Maybe not my best work.
The subtext here is, hey, can I help you with anything over there? Will you actually help me?
Yeah.
Yes.
If I say yes?
Yes.
No, I'm not. Okay, yeah. Well then, no, you don't need to help me at all.
Also resonated with me, for the record.
Yeah, 100% it was, he's going to come over there, and then he's going to say, okay, what do you want me to do? And then she's going to be like, ugh, all right. By the time I explain to you where the food goes in your own house, which is absolutely something you should know, I'm going to have been able to do it myself anyway. So no, I don't need your pathetic excuse for helping.
Well, I 100%. Feel called out at this moment, real hard. We're not talking about Davy and Goliath anymore, you guys.
No.
Every night before you go to bed, read just one little story on that big spreadsheet about emotional labor that women put together.
Oh my God.
Just read one story. I feel like
so you think I'm gonna take
now,
the you think I'm gonna take the emotional labor to read this article about emotional labor? You're gonna put that on me? Come on, Gina. Listen. Anyway, so Goliath the dog wants to offer a gift, and that gift is a bone. Huh?
Again, I think this is cute. He clearly loves his bone. I mean, I don't think it's cute. Everything about this is a horrifying fucking abortion of claymation. It's just terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Every expression is terrifying. Every movement is terrifying. But if this wasn't a horrific, like, visual vomit, it would be cute that a dog is like, you know what she needs? She needs a bone. And not just any bone. My special bone.
You know. You know.
All of the jokes have already been made about, yes, he wants to give her a bone. I think what is relevant here, actually, I need to know if Goliath is actually a super smart dog, if Davy recognizes it, if the father recognizes it, because what the father says when Goliath brings over the bone is, am I in your way? Like a sarcastic prick. Then he says, what do you want? And rolls his eyes as the dog is trying to convey some information to him.
Yeah.
So either he's just a dummy and the dog is trying to, you know, explain something to him, or he understands what the dog is doing. Is like, oh, okay, I see how it is. You're going to try and show me up on her goddamn birthday? She's my wife, you little son of a bitch. I will send you to the goddamn pound. You try and come onto my woman.
Yeah, I will just say, though, I'll say right now, if you had a dog and the dog suddenly started talking, you'd be like, oh, my God, that's amazing. I have a fucking talking dog. This is crazy, the dog. But then, like, after you've had that dog for like 2 or 3 years and the dog's still talking, you'd just be like, I just want you to shut up.
No,
I
here's
just
the thing.
Don't want to hear it, dog.
Ray is annoyed by this because he doesn't want something in the, he doesn't want an animal in his house that he knows is smarter than he is. So that's why Ray would not be.
How dare you?
But this, because this dad is a terrible person. This dad is just like, oh God, here goes the super smart dog again trying to, and then he's like, why don't you wrap it up, you little bitch? And the dog like goes and gets wrapping paper. And everything about this dad, I want to tear his clay head off. Like, I want him to die like Mr. Bill style, because he's just at this point even more insufferable than the groceries thing is being rude to a super smart dog.
Oh, see, there's the angle. Okay. I knew eventually we were going to get somewhere aligned with that. I would say this show tries to present, it's from like, what, 1960? It's trying to present this slice of Americana of this Leave It to Beaver, you know, quiet, suburban, white, religious, middle-class family. And what it instead conveys is just super problematic. And this is where Moral Oral, I think, really, really scored, because they did their versions of these same characters. But like, the dad is a super alcoholic who won't leave his chair, you know, and it's just, and it's not that far off from what we actually see in the actual show itself. What I'm trying to say is, if you haven't seen Moral Oral, you should probably, maybe just the first season, because it does get real, real weird real fast.
Part of the reason why Moral Oral can succeed is because just like the nature of producing this thing, they can't afford to have, like, you know, this amazing stop motion. Like, there's the rhythms are sometimes weird, and there's a lot of long pauses. Because, like, this, you know, they're just moving these things by hand, and it's probably crazy expensive just to have these, you know, 13-minute episodes. So, like, these silences and pauses and stuff, it feels so much, I don't know. It feels like there are spaces where things are being left unsaid, and everything feels vaguely creepy, because you're like,
yeah,
why are you just staring at her? Are you, you have a problem with it? What? Oh my God, are you trying to kill her? Is this like some weird, like, sexual tension between brother and sister? What is even?
Yes. Yeah. Also, I got to admit, like, I didn't know it was possible to capture the discomfort that I feel in real life when people start talking about religion. But yeah, this commercial does it with all of those silences that, again, like, clearly, like, claymation is hard, and you know, they're adding filler in there. But yeah, like, everything is a bit unnatural and a bit slow. And I do feel like they managed to sort of bottle that feeling of someone saying to me, like, hey, why don't you come to church with me sometime?
Yeah,
I think you're staring at you.
Yeah, exactly. They captured that mood in this cartoon.
Well, two things. One, it feels disjointed because it is disjointed. I think that's fair. And two, you know what, Gina, to what you just said, it reminds me of when I used to wait tables like 5 lives ago, and sometimes you'd get the table that won't pay their bill until they've had a chance to talk to you about their religion. or they'll pay the bill, but that you could see they haven't like grabbed it to fill out the tip yet. And then you all of a sudden get things like, you know, I was a young man like yourself once. Oh, fuck off. I just want to do my job. I've been harangued at a table. It was my last table of the lunch shift at a Mexican, at an Italian restaurant, I think. Yeah. And this was back in my early 20s. And I had a table of two, basically youth counselors who used the opportunity to keep me standing there for a half an hour. Ugh. To tell me about the greatness of the worlds beyond and how I should come to their church, and leaving me pamphlets. And the whole time it was for like a goddamn $4 tip. Does not feel like it was worth it. I should have just walked away.
I should have just walked away.
I froze in the moment. And here's the worst part. One of my friends who was working there at the time, and she's just like, yo, what was that all about? You were talking with those guys for like a half hour. I said, religion shanghaied me at the table. And she like, oh, I was going to come over and give you an excuse to leave, but you seemed super interested in what they have to say. And I say, maybe I am a good actor after all.
I'm glad she did that to you. That's what you get for not reading about emotional labor.
You know, it was a precursor. See, here's the deal. I've already paid off that crime, so now I don't have to read about it. That's the point. That's at least the way I choose to see it. Oh, my God. Yeah, don't be those people. You're probably not if you're listening to this show. It's probably a fair statement. But if you know those people, tell them not to be those people, because that's real, real poop. That's some real poop. Real poopy.
Yeah.
Don't be those people. Okay. So one of my favorite lines ever, and Chan, you can talk about this. Gina, I'm sure you have a thought as well, is when Davey comes out from the other room. I don't know. He just disappeared for a sec during the dog and dad scene. And he just busts out with, or do you want to just play it, Chan?
Dad?
Yes?
What does the word provide mean?
That is a leading question. That is a kid with an agenda. I'll start there. Y'all had lots of feelings. I'd love to hear them.
That's him calling out his dad for being a fucking terrible provider is what I think. I think he's saying, what does the word provide mean? What is a provider, Dad? Oh, I don't have any good examples of what a provider is, Dad. What a good provider is. Maybe you could explain it to me, or should I ask Mom?
Man, pretty rough. It's a rough moment for us all. At which point now we talk about, well, you know who the ultimate provider is.
Oh,
the Lord. That's who.
Uber Eats.
Oh, also an Uber Eats, which has not been invented for about 60 more years. But don't worry about that. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so he says, well, you know, the Lord is a good provider. God is a good provider. So let's talk about the pilgrims. And I'm like, I didn't really care. You know, I just had a simple question about English and word usage, Dad. I didn't need a goddamn lecture. Didn't need it.
But this weird kid loves lectures about God.
He's a big fan about the pulpit. He loves it. He can't get enough. So we have a flashback where now him and his sister are pilgrims, and they're in a boat. It seemed like they were in a boat. Maybe they were in a warehouse.
No, I
thought they were in a storeroom of a boat that was coming over on the Mayflower, but that was just my
they were before on the land, context. But they do use barrels for storage.
Yeah, it was a contextual thing. I didn't understand where we were, and the way the camera was moving, I thought it was representing the ocean. But then no, they are just in a warehouse. On dry land, here in the new world,
they knocked those barrels over.
Yeah,
and the camera angles were such a like, oh, are they dying now?
Yeah,
are they being carried under all these barrels?
Yeah, it clearly made it look like the barrels were coming straight at the camera, and the camera was supposed to represent a prone Davey on his back without being able to control it. And his sister, meanwhile, is looking at him die. That's what I took away from that scene until it ended. And they somehow were both still alive.
Okay, hold on. I'm thinking about this now, and I'm wondering if this isn't an early Donnie Darko type situation where he dies, but then the story continues and he realizes like he's dead, been dead. Or like a Sixth Sense, one of those two. either he has the choice to go back and fix everything where he stays alive, but the Indians don't show up, or he dies and then we get to have Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, boy, a real butterfly effect.
Oh, Jesus thing going on.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Is there a problem, Davy?
Well, Dad, there was only one Dew left. Tommy said it was his, I said it was mine, and we began to fight, and it was wrong. We're sorry.
Boys, why don't you give me the Mountain Dew? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Now let that be a lesson to you.
What just happened here?
We got hosed, Tommy. We got hosed.
Oh, Davy.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Yeah, and these barrels, like, so, yeah, to set the stage for what Gina just said, essentially we get Davy and Sally, and they're sort of just like, hey, we're just talking, we're hanging out. And then they would cut to a real low-angle shot of these live-action barrels falling into the camera, leading any normal viewer to think that Davy and Sally are being crushed by barrels. And what's wild about this is they don't want to pay for animation. But they can do this live action. That shit they can do in like a minute. So any chance they have to overuse a form of live action. So we watch different barrels fall comfortably 97 times in this one scene alone.
Also, they're stacked up like three high. They're all coming down. And then they're like, oh, okay. And then they just roll them up on their sides. So, you know, like, sorry if you didn't have the thing banged on tight enough. You're just going to lose all of your shit because they didn't bother to set them back upright.
Yeah, they're just going to fall again, guys. Also, why are you playing in here? This seems very dangerous.
You know, that was what I thought at first, too. I was like, oh, why did they set them up back up exactly how they were? But then I realized, you know, like in olden times, things in barrels were very finicky. Maybe you can't set it up. Maybe there's some pickled eggs in there and you don't want all the pickled eggs to like be at the very bottom. You want them sort of better spread out for the pickling. Or maybe there's some like aged whiskey in there that needs to be on its side instead
These
of its
pilgrims,
bottom.
Gina. They're pilgrims. They fucking left the continent because they didn't want to drink.
I think at least one of them snuck in a barrel of whiskey.
A whole
Thank
barrel.
You.
55
and his name, St. Jack Daniels. Thank you very much.
Also, let us note that their names, originally I thought Davy's name was Samson in this, and I don't know what that was about, but his name is Henry, and her name is Humility.
Yeah. Yeah, the most important thing for the most important trait in a woman, humility. Yeah.
Shut your mouth, lady.
Yes.
Humility.
100% that's what this was.
Because his name is fucking Henry.
Yeah.
Normal ass name and shut up, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So they find a crack in the wall of this warehouse, which to me already bad design. Bad design of this warehouse. Animals are going to crawl in through that.
Just all across the board, they sucked.
Yeah, bad deal. But they're watching a conversation between, I believe, their father and the pastor or something like that. The governor. Okay,
governor, also town, and he's like, leader. I'm governor of this whole state that doesn't yet exist.
Here's the thing: I think about this a lot because of my sense of smell, and I think of any sort of pre-showering regularly dental hygiene time, and it sounds horrific to me. But, like, these guys just suck. Like, everything about them. And then, like, when the woman chimes in later and her voice is like, oh, my God. I would just, if I was, like, a young pilgrim brought over, I would just be like, oh, fuck you guys. I am swimming to the nearest place that does not have any pilgrims. Because these two old guys are just so, they're just... You know, they're like the old white hand-wringing religious guys that you know are sort of like behind a barn getting a blowjob from an 8-year-old at some point.
Jesus.
Yeah, I definitely got that vibe.
Like, just the way they're animated is terrible and their voices are terrible. And it was like fingernails on a chalkboard.
Well, and how about the fact that in this children's cartoon, religious cartoon about Thanksgiving, they bust out with, hey, so you hear 44 people are dead.
Yeah.
real specific.
I out loud said, oh my God. Like, they're just like, oh, shocking. A lot of us are dying. We can't afford for more of us to die. And it's weird because they never really go into specifics, which they definitely could. They could, like, we know enough history to be like, okay, they could have died of starvation. They could have died of disease. They could have died of vitamin deficiencies. But they just sort of leave it vague until the end, and we'll get there, and it's very weird.
It's real weird. They say, but thankfully God is providing for us. And I say, well, thankfully, unfortunately, God didn't provide for those 44 people before you. F them, yeah. I guess. Bad job, God.
Holy crap. I just looked it up. I was like, what did the pilgrims die of? Because a little bit later, spoiler, they talk about like, hey, you know that disease you're getting? Eat some fish, you'll be fine. Apparently, a lot of them were dying of scurvy and pneumonia.
I was going to say scurvy, but
yeah,
but like, fish would not help with that. Pneumonia also makes sense. Also a thing fish would not help with. That's why I thought it was just supposed to be starvation.
Oh, hold
that
on.
They were dying from. But then it's
spirosis.
What is it?
Here's another thing, a spirochete. Oh, okay. Some other disease. Rat urine. Wow. Okay. You know what? I'm going to read this article later because it's like a hot mess.
So maybe don't leave a hole in your warehouse if you have a problem with rat urine.
You know what? I mean, if they had gone into more detail, because like I know that learning to salt fish and salt meat was obviously a huge thing because, you know, some like if you eat spoiled meat, you're going to fucking die. But again, they don't I guess it makes sense. I guess it makes sense that these guys are like, we're dying and we don't know why. And then later someone's like, yeah, eat fish instead of your fucking tainted meat. I guess maybe that's what it is. But again, in a children's cartoon, it's all very strange.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. Oh boy. I kept reading this goddamn article. Turns out the pilgrims showed up. There was just an empty village there. And they're like, you know what? Well, we just chill here. God provides. He provided his friggin' houses. The town was empty because they had all died of a fucking infectious disease.
Oh my God.
And so they're just like, we're just gonna move in here. Oh, what is this weird disease we're getting? I wonder if there's a connection between this fucking abandoned village. And
you're not talking about Roanoke, right?
No. Punxsutawney.
That's where Groundhog Day is.
Punxsutawney,
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there's the abandoned colony of Roanoke that for years they had no idea like what had happened. And there were, it's very fascinating to me. I'm sure our listeners are smart, so I'm sure they all know about it, but just finding,
I wouldn't bank on that,
but just like finding an entire colony empty of people, but with everything else still there and basically undisturbed. Is just so fascinating to me.
It seems spooky until you find out that basically they're real hungry, went over to the Indians and said, can we marry you and please take care of us in the way that white folks tend to do.
Yeah.
I love the fact that these folks were so religious. They just showed up at this new land and already prepackaged homes were on the thing. And their notion was God made these for us. They didn't stop to think cause and effect that would get us to the situation. They were just like, it's a miracle. We have running water.
Yeah.
There's a dead moose in the well. He provides. I don't know. That's crazy to me.
A lot of things killed you back then. Lots of things.
That's a fact. You had to have 13. You had to be Philip Rivers and have like 13 children just because you were expecting to lose like 9 of them.
Yeah.
Boy, there's a really detailed description of how spirochetes fuck you up in this article. Slate, thank you so much. Thank you for providing the joy that I need.
Man,
think of these.
You want to talk about explaining what providing's all about.
Daddy, what does spirochete mean? Well, son.
Well,
let me tell you about the time that I was in Vietnam.
Oh my God. Well, this takes us to the next live action segment because now we cut over to Sally and Davey. I'm not learning their bullshit names. Shut
Henry
up, bitch. That's
and
right.
Humility.
Okay. And shut up. And so we now get more live action because they're skipping rocks in the water. And they cut back to a live action part of water.
Skipping rocks would imply some degree of skill and or dexterity. They're doing what my goddamn three-year-old does when he goes to the beach, which is pick up a rock and throw it in the water. Then go and pick up another rock and throw it in the water and pick up another rock. This can go on for a fucking hour, even more. You know what? I was there.
What are you talking about? That's quiet time. What are you talking about right now? That sounds magical.
Here's the thing. You can't just walk away from a kid who's at the water's edge when they don't know how to swim because.
You know what, Chan? Watch me.
I would. But I'd just teach him how to swim and then be like, you're on your own, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's this little thing called a goddamn pandemic that has prevented us from teaching him.
Regrettable. Is that new?
What?
I'm not familiar. What pandemic's going on right now?
Spirochetes.
It's Spirochetes.
My president said Spirochetes ended in February of 2020, and there were zero Spirochetes cases.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Burn your masks. I'm so happy I lost all those Facebook friends. Okay, so we have like 92 at least shots of water having rocks thrown in them, and it was wonderful. And this leads us to meeting our Native American friend. They
in
refer to
a very horror movie kind of way.
Oh, that's
cutting
right.
Back to this water that's like plonk 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 in ripples, water does, and then it goes crystal clear, and there's a brown man staring at them.
It's true. So one person on the Davy and Goliath staff went to art school. You could tell by that one angle, which quite honestly, if it wasn't this, was a pretty gosh darn good angle. Not going to lie. It was terrifying. Now you learn his name is Samoset, and he's an Indian, as
I'm
they
sorry,
would say.
He's a what?
They refer to him several times as an Indian.
No. Well, the first time she calls him a brave.
Oh, she does call him a brave. And to be fair, I thought it was really weird when he started referring to himself as an Indian.
Yes, that was very weird, and it's very clearly a, look, we don't want to confuse kids. Let's just pretend that that's what they called themselves.
Also, I feel like at this time, that's kind of what the animators thought they called themselves.
That's probably true.
They called themselves
I don't think you're wrong. Yeah, for sure. And then it starts raining, and so he has to take them back to their house because they can't get back to the house without it. I don't really understand exactly what their problem was, but he needs to get them back to their house because it's raining and they'll turn, they'll melt. They'll melt like MacArthur Park. I don't know. Because somebody would leave a cake out in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reference I was making right there.
Yeah. No, we get it. Also, just to back up my assertion that these Native Americans can't be malicious because they're just dumb as a box of rocks.
Yeah, it's regrettable.
Me, Samoset.
He speaks English.
A little.
Well?
Indians help pilgrims.
The part that kills me is they get to the house. And Davy and Sally go inside and they get like towels and they're drying themselves off. And poor Samoset standing there in the doorway, covered in water, like beads and beads of water all over his face and head and body. And they're just like, yeah, you're still here. We're done. We're done, dude. Why are you still here? Why go away?
Everything about this is so disturbing. Just seeing beads of water on like a claymation face that's already like kind of done in a disturbing way is just it's such a weird visual, and then everything that happens next is so weird. Like basically the parents come back, they're like, oh good, our kids are here, and they're like, yes, I'm like, Indian dude found us and delivered us home. And they're like, oh my god, what if he comes back? And then the dad, who like has a gun. But actually, okay. This makes sense. He used his one bullet to try and shoot his wife.
Yes. So, okay. So, Samoset just leaves. He didn't even say anything. He just turns and walks away because I guess we're done here. Okay. Bye, children I just saved. Don't give me a god darn towel or anything like that. I guess I'm just going to see myself out, you bitches. So yeah, and so the parents freak out like crazy, and there's a great moment because yes, they worry that he's going to bring his friends and they're going to ransack our house. And I'm like, aren't you part of like a community? And I don't.
Wait, you did skip over when he tries to shoot his wife, though.
No, that's the next part because he gets his gun.
No.
They go outside. No.
They go out looking for the kids, and that's when.
Oh, excuse me. Yes,
they're just
okay.
like rooting around in the forest, not knowing what. And he looks around, sees like a shadow, and clearly.
He opens fire.
A bear or fucking dirty Native American and takes a shot.
Yeah.
Takes a shot.
Either he's too terrified and he's trigger happy, or like he kind of knew it was his wife and was like, well, this is my opportunity to shoot her.
Mm-hmm. That's the one right there. Oh, a tragic hunting accident because, and her tone makes me feel like it's happened before.
Yeah, she's pretty unaffected by it. Like
she's really blasé.
Stop.
Edward, it's me.
Anne.
You know, he doesn't seem that broken up about it.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Edward, it's me. Like, this is like the 33rd time this month you've taken a shot at me in the dark. Why do I even come out with you here anymore?
I'm beginning to suspect it is not an accident.
Sir, if this happens 33 more times, we'll have words. It's crazy. So then they say, oh, the Native American, he's going to come back. And he does come back with food. Ah.
They say that they were helped back by an Indian. And the old people are like, they're delirious. Clearly, that's not something a brown person would do. Help. I'm like, Jesus. And then you see a shadow in the window. Again, it feels like, there's one person on staff who just loves Hitchcock. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to fly it in this. And I feel good about myself for the work I'm doing here.
But also the mom or someone is like, what if he could bring friends back and kill us all? And then the dad who used his one bullet and clearly hasn't reloaded it because it's the type of gun that you need to like, you know, reload with lots of gunpowder and things like that. Who he uses one bullet on his wife, he turns his gun around and is getting ready to like beat the shit out of whoever comes through that door.
That's right. I forgot he was going to use it as a club. Yeah, he's going to beat him to death. Now, you know, bad plan. And they bring food and he brings over his two friends. They were right about that. He brings over Squanto. Oh boy. Who's going to teach them how to fish.
I believe that is an actual historical person. So
yes, it is.
That's fine.
Yes.
That's
And Ovamek, who's going to teach them how to plant maize. Plant maize. And then we have some sort of weird scene where now they're like integrated into the family, but they are very clearly second-class citizens. And we get a distinct vibe that mom is boning Samoset. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not making that up. That was clearly there.
Which also, like, wouldn't you, if you have this weird, like, flabby-faced, sour-pussed husband, and then all of a sudden this dude comes and he's like, I know how to do a lot of shit, and I'm, like, pretty in shape, and I'm not fucking 8-year-olds behind the barn, then you get some. If you're Mrs. Pilgrim, you get some.
Mrs. Pilgrim, God provides. God provides food. God provides dick. You're going to be fine.
And then literally we get to the end of the episode because this is somehow that was 13 minutes, everybody, and 55 seconds. And then they come back. So at the end, the dad's just like, so now do you understand the meaning of provide? And in my head, I'm like, no, not even a little bit. That didn't help me a bit. What was provided? You guys went somewhere. You had no idea what was going on. You got bailed out. What did you provide for yourself?
Yeah, it is the most entitled, crazy way of looking at shit by saying like, oh, we're so great that God will provide for us because we're awesome, so that he'll even provide people for us to
do our work for us.
It is a pretty fucked up lesson.
to have this being made, I believe, like pre like civil rights movement, and to have the moral of the story be God put other people on this planet to serve us, the white people, yeah, as your main lesson of the thing for children. You know, of course boomers are fucked up. Of course they are.
I just want to say Samoset provided for Anne. And?
Well, God knew when the pilgrims came to their new land, they'd need to learn to grow maize and catch fish.
Uh-huh.
So, he provided, planned to use the Indians to help the pilgrims in their new homes.
I'm sure of it.
What's this for?
I think Goliath is trying to provide for Mother.
Goliath is providing for Mother.
Goliath is. I didn't think we could have a worse speech than the Care Bears kids' Thanksgiving Day speech, but I was wrong. That was 10 times worse.
Oh no,
and, problematic and racist.
Cutting all that. All I wanted was the end there.
No, use the whole thing. What are you talking about? That was brilliant. We need that speech.
No, we don't.
That speech needs to be in this episode. Needs. Chan, I need you to provide that speech into this episode.
No, I will not provide for you. That's something your wife can handle. And if not, you know, find an 8-year-old behind the barn. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Figure it out.
Figure it out. What is happening right now?
Don't ask me to provide.
And that is the end of Davy and Goliath. I have a strange feeling most of the other episodes are equally as problematic as that one.
That seems about right.
I mean, it feels like they really like did themselves a problematic favor by leaning into this source material of the first Thanksgiving.
But I mean, here's the thing.
That's a bad message.
Years ago, it's
Well, you think about it, like this came out in like what, 1960? And, you know, boomers, you know, we're all in their like teenage years, mid-teens or below. And this is the bullshit that they were being fed. And you wonder why people in textbooks are people in Texas are terrified that their textbooks are going to have critical race theory in it. You know, it's just, of course, this is where they came from. This is the viewpoint of the world in the year 2021. To a large percentage of the country still. So, of course, they're messed up.
I will just say that I feel like really what we're doing here is hitting some pretty low-hanging fruit. Davy and Goliath is obviously problematic. And the reason why I know that is because I scroll down a little bit here on the YouTube and see that the comments are turned off. I'm like, oh boy.
What
have people been saying on here? They're like, no, we're good.
I for a peek behind the curtain, I was tasked with finding a Thanksgiving episode. The Pac-Man Halloween episode, I was told, was not the worst thing we had ever watched. So I made it my goal to find something extra terrible. And on Wikipedia, there's a whole Wikipedia page that lists every Thanksgiving episode of every show ever written, like from Alf to, I mean, just like every Simpsons Thanksgiving episode is on there. So I went through it.
That's
and just
great.
Clicked on anything that sounded, anything animated that sounded terrible. And I specifically was looking for like before, like pre like 1987, because I feel like that's when everything would be particularly bad. And when I saw this, it just sounded terrible. It looked terrifying. And I think I didn't disappoint. Psycho Andy did say it was still not as bad as BC.
Yeah, BC Thanksgiving was rough. I'm not going to lie.
I liked BC better because at least like the animation was a little bit fun. Like fun stuff was happening in the animation, whereas this just made me feel like I let the devil into my house and like now I can't get rid of him. Like while we were watching it, I felt very uncomfortable.
Based purely on running time, I like this better.
Yes, this was very short.
You could throw as many terrible 13-minute episodes as you want at me.
13 minutes and 55 seconds. Stop shortchanging that extra awful 55 seconds.
I keep taking the barrel scenes out of it. I apologize. Guys, I can't until you've seen that. We'll put up links on knowing at G.I. Joe podcast. Gina, can you please send me a link to this? I will put it up right away. Because I can't do justice to these scenes. You have to just see them to really understand how upsettingly long they are and how incredibly cheap they are.
Yeah, it'll make you feel weird inside your soul.
But thankfully, through this episode of David and Goliath, I have found the Lord. I have found him in my soul. I am now the purest of believers. Give me my lamb's rejoicing.
Oof, boy, if there's one in your soul, well, there's just gonna be a whole bunch more that'll be coming around.
Oh, my soul is filled with spirochetes.
Honestly, my stomach feels a little bit like I've got lambs rejoicing in there right now. So maybe we should wrap this up pretty soon. I think it's the candy corn that we ate.
Ugh.
And we talked comfortably about the candy corn on this episode, right?
Enough.
Yeah, you guys.
We'll post that video in the Patreon if they want to see.
Yeah, I think we should, and we do.
Thanksgiving dinner candy corn, which is, as you might expect, an abomination.
Green beans, roasted turkey, cranberry sauce, stuffing, turkey dinner, apple pie, and coffee, all in candy corn flavor.
Even I stopped eating it.
And you can't tell which is which because some of them are the same color.
Correct. So,
yeah, like coffee is the same color as stuffing.
Yeah. One's okay. Bad. One is not.
And that's our show. Much like the candy corn, some of this was okay, but some of it was not. I would actually argue most of it was not. Thank you very much for listening. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and you can hit us up at patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast. Really, donate, be a member at any level, and we will invite you to these watch parties. You can help at a certain higher level, pick out what episodes we watch. Brian Rapp, a friend of the show, he picked out the Care Bears episode that we watched last week. And we kind of looked at it and we were just like, you know, we hadn't decided what we were going to watch yet. I think this is it, right? We all just sort of looked at each other and collectively went, yup. So here we are. We did that. And you can head us up at facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You guys have anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Nope.
I know better than to ask that question, but I keep thinking something's going to happen. And then it doesn't, and I'm left completely hung out to dry because dead air is great for radio and podcasts. Thanks, you guys. In the meantime, you can hit us up on Twitter, at G.I. Lost the Thread, at G.I. Joe Podcast on Twitter, or individually, you can hit me up at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
We got real, real close to doing a full hour about a 13-minute, 55-second cartoon. And I would just like to say, great job, us. We did it.
We have a lot of extra hot air just sitting around, just waiting to be blown out.
That's true. And I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. Watch the Lions lose to the Bears. It's the Red Rocket Andy Dalton for the Bears. It's going to be very exciting to watch us go completely down in flames. But what if we win? That's all I'm trying to say, you guys. This might age terribly, but what if?
Hey, Gina, what if we win? Ray's mic cut out. Can you hear him? I haven't heard him for the last couple of seconds.
How dare you both? Hi, harumph. You both, and we will have lots of Thanksgiving Day stories, I'm sure, to share next week. Chan, you're going to Vegas, and Gina's coming to my Thanksgiving. So, y'all, we're going to have some stories. We're going to have a lot to talk about next week. I have a
you'll
very strong
have
feeling.
Things you'll want to talk about. I will too. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.